This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 13th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 303. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. Vancouver librarians are caught in the middle of the culture war. My guest is Chief Librarian Christina DeCastel on how the Vancouver Public Library is protecting the freedom to read amid calls from the left and the right to ban books. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or have you also felt sadness for Lahaina? The dozens dead, the town burned down by a wildfire on Maui. I went there in 1986 as a 16-year-old with my family for a Christmas vacation. It was the only time I've been to Hawaii. I long to return, but it will obviously be much, much different. I appreciated the natural beauty, but I don't think I totally appreciated the history of the area with 9 centuries of native Hawaiian and colonial history. It was once Hawaii's capital, the Kingdom of Hawaiians, a land of plenty, fruit, vegetables, and fish. Then there's the banyan tree. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world so close to a town site. May it endure as an enduring symbol after this tragedy. And then there's the people, the easygoing Hawaiian people. God bless them. Hawaii is well equipped for volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and tsunamis. Maybe officials weren't ready enough for a wildfire. How did it happen? How can other communities be kept safe? How can we help those who need help to rebuild their lives and rebuild the town that so many Canadians loved? Well, look up the Hawaii Community Foundation website or the Maui United Way. Those are a couple places to start. What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. What do these books have in common? Two Grooms on a Cake, the story of America's first gay wedding. Irreversible Damage, the transgender craze seducing our daughters. Unmasked, inside Antifa's radical plan to destroy democracy. And Asterix, the Gladiator. These books are all targets of complaints from Vancouver Public Library users. According to a list from January 2022 to June 2023 that I obtained under Freedom of Information, library users filed 17 challenges to books and one CD. After review, not one was removed from the shelves. The culture war that threatens democracy, fought between the left and the right, has come to libraries. The Book and Periodical Council, which is behind Canada's Freedom to Read Week every February, emphasizes the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which protects freedom of thought, freedom of belief, freedom of opinion, and freedom of expression, all vital for writers, readers, publishers, and libraries. The position statement ends with these words, quote, "Censorship does not protect society, it smothers creativity and precludes open debate of controversial issues." End quote. Joining me to discuss this trend on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast is the Vancouver Public Library's Chief Librarian, Christina DeCastel.
Are your staff members now facing more of these types of complaints and having to take more time to deal with these complaints?
So in Vancouver, we actually see, I would say, less of these types of complaints than a lot of other cities are seeing. And that seems to be part of the character of Vancouver. So we are seeing a little bit more here than we would have seen 5 or 10 years ago. I've been responsible for collections at VPL in one way or another for quite a long time. And there has been a gradual increase over the past 10 years. However, it still is fairly low level compared to other libraries in the United States and even in other parts of Canada. And yeah, I think that, as you've noted, we see a bit of the polarization of community happening in the kinds of complaints that we see in Vancouver. And we see complaints on both sides of the political spectrum, people concerned about racism, concerned about anti-Semitism in older books in VPL's collection. And then we see a little bit of vandalism happening of books that are promoting inclusion, particularly around gender identity.
Calgary, Toronto, perhaps, which might skew a little more conservative, and Vancouver skews more liberal and just general demographics. And is that why you're not seeing as much of an uptick?
It's certainly possible that it is Vancouver's politics that is the reason that we see a different distribution of where complaints are coming from. I would say that the large metropolitan areas aren't where the more polarized complaints are happening. In Canada, New Brunswick and Manitoba have probably seen the most substantial activity around book banning in Canada, and more of the people wanting books that are related to gender expression or anything sex education related for children. And of course, we've seen that conversation happening in Chilliwack with school libraries as well.
Are you seeing any of the complaints, the challenges that are made to the VPL come from organized groups, campaigns, or are these just average lone citizens that take it upon themselves?
Yeah, we haven't seen an organized campaign related to VPL materials in the collections space. So these do seem to be individuals concerned about individual items that they have read, and we don't see an effort that is more political in the way that I think the Manitoba challenges that have gone to city councils there, that look to be much more of a coordinated campaign, and the activities happening in the United States also are much more coordinated political campaigns. So in Vancouver, what we see is individual complaints about individual books that are very specific to the content in those books.
Is there a form that people fill out, and then how does it travel through the VPL administration?
Yeah, so often complaints actually start in a library branch where an individual has been looking at a book and they come to talk to a staff member about it. And most of the time, that conversation with an individual staff member, with a librarian or with the branch head in the branch, is enough to resolve the complaint. And so it doesn't go any further than that. If someone wants the formal process, then we have what's called a request for reconsideration form, and they fill that out, and we ask them to specify what specifically in the book is a concern for them, to identify the page that they're concerned about, the image or the text that they're concerned about. That those forms are reviewed by our manager of collections and technical services, and she will look at the reviews of the book, the reasons why we brought it into the collection to begin with. She'll consider our collection policy and whether it meets our collection policy. And then she may also look at the level of circulation, how much is that book being read, and what other libraries in Canada have it. So we understand really a full picture of this book and the context that it's being used in. And that's important because sometimes people will say that they don't want a book in the collection because it doesn't represent this community. And if a book has been checked out 100 times in the past 6 months, then we can say it is absolutely being used by the community. So there's a way to explain to people that their point of view on what represents the community may not be the only point of view. So, of course, we have many, many copies of most of the books that are in our collection. So something, one individual title can be checked out by 100 people in a year because we've got 50 copies of it circulating in the system. So we can see how many copies do we have, how much is it being used, and that really helps us to understand our community much better. People will sometimes take that process a little bit further. So if they don't agree with the manager's assessment of the book, they can choose to escalate that complaint further. And so it could ultimately come to me. We have a collection development policy that is approved by our board. And that policy places the consideration of individual titles in the hands of library staff. So the policy says that libraries are intended to actively showcase diverse perspectives, that we are here to represent the full breadth of our community in its diversity. And that is what guides our decisions about the books in the collection.
The Center for Free Expressions database, the Toronto Metropolitan University started that, as you know, late last year. They show only one item from VPL that has been reconsidered and removed, and that was in 2021. That was the People's Daily from China for political and propaganda reasons. Is that the only one that you know of that has been removed?
The only books we've ever removed recently from VPL's collection, so in the past 10 years or so, were two books related because of copyright infringement. So it's very unusual for us to remove anything from the collection. Typically, if we've bought it, it's been bought with considerable thoughtfulness. So it would be highly out of the ordinary, and typically it's due to an issue of copyright rather than an issue of content. We have, on very rare occasions, moved a book. So an example of that would be a book that was previously considered appropriate for children. So something like Tintin in the Congo is an example from about 10 years ago. We moved that book from the children's collection to the adult collection, to the area where history and of that form of publishing is held, because of the level of racism in the pictures.
Also wanted to find out about VPL's participation in the Freedom to Read campaign. The Freedom to Read campaign, Books and Periodicals Canada, they have their statement, which really upholds the tenets of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and really says that only a court has authority in Canada to decide if it does breach anything. Any section of any law. Otherwise, we've got the freedom to read. We don't have the freedom to tell other people what they can read.
That's right. That's very much part of the philosophy of libraries in Canada, that the Charter of Rights and Freedoms guides us, intellectual freedom guides us. And that means that we give people the opportunity to explore many different perspectives. So we do participate in Freedom to Read Week. And normally in that period, you'll see displays in libraries around the city sharing what kinds of books have been banned through history in Canada and what kinds of books are getting challenges in libraries in Canada, so that people can understand how diverse the different perspectives are and how they change over time.
But there is also the vandalism of displays, the defacing of books. Is that something you're seeing more of? And is that costing the library more money, more time to deal with that?
We're seeing it a little bit more than we would have 5 years ago. It's still very small numbers, as you've noted from the report. So I wouldn't say that it's costing a lot of money or time at this point. It's distressing to see. And certainly for staff, it's not something that they want to experience as part of their workday, but it is not at a high volume at the moment. So that, still a pretty low level in Vancouver. I appreciate the conversation. I think it's very important that we talk about the role of libraries to represent the full diversity of a community and what that means, that we do hold so many voices for Vancouver. And that means that sometimes we hold things that people disagree with, and we try not to judge what someone is coming into a library to explore, and that is why we're here. It's part of the role of a library is to support democracy and an informed citizenry, to give us the space to be curious and to learn. And so this conversation is an important one. It's hard to see the book censorship coming back into the public conversation. We're sorry to be in this space where book banning is happening, and glad that it is happening less in Vancouver. I hope it stays that way.
That was the Vancouver Public Library's Chief Librarian, Christina DeCastel. Check out vpl.ca, and you can also check out freedomtoread.ca. There's also the Library Challenges database from the Center for Free Expression. That website is cfe.torontomu.ca.
It's time. Icebreaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Maui news, ring by ring, majestic banyan tree in the heart of fire-scorched Lahaina chronicles 150 years of history. Like the town itself, its very survival is now in question. Its limbs scorched by a devastating fire that has wiped away generations of history. It's unclear what sparked the fire, which quickly raced toward town on August 8th. The flames were fanned by brisk winds and fueled by dry vegetation in nearby hills. When the ferocious blaze swept into the historic town, many of the wooden buildings didn't stand a chance and were quickly turned into heaps of ashes. In the Taiwan news, industrial park in Taiwan found using surveillance cameras from China. National security and information security concerns were raised over negligence in CCTV system procurement. Surveillance cameras procured by Hsinchu Industrial Park were identified as sourced from China but passed off as manufactured in Taiwan, said the auditory body of the government in a report released last week. The brands of the cameras were not specified. The industrial complex is home to more than 400 companies providing services and products in information and communications technology, chemical, automobile, pharmaceutical, and other industries. In the Kyoto news, U.S., Japan, and South Korea to agree on holding three-way summit annually. The three countries are planning to mention the agreement in a joint statement on the results of their meeting to be hosted by U.S. President Joe Biden at his Camp David retreat near Washington on August 18th. Among other points, they are expected to agree to hold joint drills of the three countries' armed forces around the Korean Peninsula on a regular basis, improve intelligence sharing, and work more closely on new areas such as cybersecurity and supply chains for key industrial sectors, the sources said. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, another Oregon toilet paper factory is closing. 72 more workers will lose their jobs. Cascades Inc. announced in April that it would shutter a plant in Scappoose and close one of two production lines in St. Helens, thus eliminating 133 jobs altogether. The Canadian company said it was shifting the work to sites that performed better. On Thursday, Cascades said it will close the remaining toilet paper production line at the St. Helens plant and lay off another 72 in October. In the Seattle Times, proposed San Juan Island Trail divides farmers and recreation advocates. Signs protest San Juan County's plans, announced last winter, to build a 10-foot-wide, 3-mile-long paved trail that will parallel the narrow road. When the project is completed, non-vehicle travelers will be able to reach the island's interior using the multi-use path, which will begin south of the Friday Harbor Town Center and terminate at Zylstra Lake Preserve, a popular expanse of trails west of town. The property owners have voiced their concerns. Trespassing, disturbing livestock, noise, increased taxes, litter, general disruption of their ways of life. But there's a deeper conflict here between the long-standing San Juan farm families and a county they feel is abandoning them. In the Times Colonist, WestJet plane wingtip hits tail of parked military Hercules at Comox Airport. Tip of taxiing WestJet plane appeared to hit a tail of a parked CC-103H Hercules. The plane taxiing at Comox Valley Airport for a flight to Edmonton collided with a parked military plane shortly after noon on August 9th. An airline spokesperson described it as a minor incident. The incident is being investigated by WestJet, Royal Canadian Air Force, and the Transportation Safety Board. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand
alone. The Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to
the people of Hawaii,
especially Lahaina, who hosts so many Canadians. Now is their time of need. Check out mauicounty.gov to find out how you can help the people of Lahaina after the devastating wildfire. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 13th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 13th of August in 2020, Israel established relations with the United Arab Emirates? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.